Okay, welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. It is Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. And today I'm going to be reading through a couple of articles about haunted theaters. And they're basically a couple of articles that are lists of locations. I thought that'd be an interesting way to just kind of jump around. Maybe at some point, if anyone thinks I should do a deep dive into one theater in particular, we can do that some other time. I just thought this would be a good way to just start and just to look and see what... I mean, that's one of those things where... I think there are haunted theaters all around, everywhere, and so that's definitely a very easy but also interesting thing to look into. So, of course, if you want to find these the recordings of these streams after they're done, I'm not live anymore. You can always go to the podcast page, which I will put in the chat here. And that is salcidoparanormal.podbean.com. And that's SALSIDO paranormal at podbean.com. And there you can find all my social media links and also links to two different ways to donate to the show if you ever want to do so. It's never expected, but always appreciated. And also, if you have any stories you'd like to share, whether they're your own or from other people that you know, you're welcome to email me at salcedoparanormal@gmail.com, and I will check them out. Maybe we can exchange emails here and there, kind of go over things, and I can share whatever you'd like on the show. And I don't have to use names, so if that's ever making anyone worry, you know, don't worry about that. That's not an issue. As far as reading these stories, that's not the main thing. The main thing is to share these stories so that everyone knows that their experiences are valid and that they're not alone in them and that it's okay to talk about them, whatever they are. So yeah, that's I think that's all of that done. This week I have no other plans as far as anything that would interfere with the stream, so this week it'll definitely be, after today I'll definitely be streaming on Thursday, and that Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, and then Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and these streams will usually go for at least half an hour to an hour long, depending on how I'm doing as far as reading everything. That kind of, I'm legally blind, so that wears my eyes out after a while. But yeah, so that's basically everything, I think. So let's get into these two articles. And go from there. And then of course you all are welcome to join in the chat over in my Discord server, which is where I do these streams. And you can find the link to that on the podcast page as well. So, or you can send me an email and I can send you an invite that way if that's easier. Always happy to hear from anyone about the show in general, just to talk about it and exchange ideas and get ideas for new shows. And so yeah, that's what I like to do here. So the first article I will share in the chat here and in the show notes, is this one. 14 terrifying haunted theaters across America. And this is from Ranker. I have to say, I never really thought of like list websites or ranking websites as being useful in any of this stuff, but I've used a few of their articles over the years for research, at least a starting point for things, if nothing else. So this will go with this one, and then I have one other one after that, and we'll see where I'm at after that. I kind of feel like reading two articles is about as much as I want to do, so. Anyway, let me see here. So yeah, this is from Ranker. It's called 14 Terrifying Haunted Theaters Across America. And this is by Jacob Shelton. And it's from last year. So I will read this. Some of this is kind of, I don't know, more like meant to be light and humorous commentary on just the horror genre in general, I guess. But there's some interesting stuff once you get past the... You know, I could probably just skip the introduction. Yeah, I think I'll just do that. So the first one on this list is the Granbury Opera House. And here we go. This is, yeah, the Granbury Theater. Okay. Oh, Granbury, I'm sorry, Opera House. So, okay, it says, the ghosts at night are big and bright, clap, 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 in parentheses, deep in the heart of Texas. Oh, I see, it was a reference. If you're taking Highway 377 through the Lone Star State, you'll find yourself in Granbury, Texas, home of the famous Granbury Opera House. The theater may have been staffed by one John Wilkes Booth while he was on the run for the crime of killing the President of the United States of America. Talking about Lincoln, of course. The story goes that after Booth's had his leg fixed up while on the run, he made his way to Granbury, where he changed his name to John St. Helens, a fantastic fake name if there ever were one. According to local legend, St. Helens spent a lot of time at the Opera House, and on his deathbed, he admitted to being the one and only John Wilkes Booth. People say that they've run into a black-clad thespian in the Opera House and that he can recite Shakespeare at the drop of a hat, even when there's nothing going on at the Opera House. Is the ghost of St. Helen or slash John Wilkes Booth? Oh, that's interesting. I missed a word there. Is this the ghost of St. Helen's John Wilkes Booth? If you're ever in Granbury and run into this spooky fellow, make sure to ask him how he feels about tyrants and or ostentatious fake names. So that was that one. That's an interesting idea, running into a figure like that in a theater. I don't know about that. Let me see here. And I see we have someone in the chat. Hello, Vicky. Thank you for joining. Yeah, I'm just doing this stream. This was a suggestion from a friend of mine, online friend of mine, and and I've always been interested in these things. There's certain places, like theaters, and I think like hospitals and hotels and all those kind of places. There's certain places that are just, seems like there's a lot of them that are supposedly haunted. So, okay, so moving on here. The W.E. Scott Theater. And here we go. After you stop by the stockyards for some bucking broncos and barbecue, take a trip to Fort Worth's own W.E. Scott Theater, a spot that's been known to host the manifestations of its founder, William Edrington. That's an interesting name. Scott. Scott died of lung cancer before seeing his vision and future namesake brought to life. Another entity that haunts the building is that of Kenneth Walker Yandel, an actor who was employed by the theater as a stagehand. Local reports say that Yandel committed suicide by hanging himself in the prop room of the theater in 1970, and that he's been heard laughing beneath the stage. It's good that he kept his sense of humor in the afterlife, at least. Okay. Sounds like just sounds and apparitions there. So that's it for that one. Next is the Cincinnati Music Hall. For some reason, Ohio is really super haunted. And just a quick note there. I do think every state has activity, but yeah, Ohio does pop up in a lot of podcasts and books on the subject of the paranormal. I don't know enough about the area. I may have to look into that sometime myself as to why that is, but it's definitely, like I said, I hear it frequently in all the podcasts I listen to on this topic. So, okay, so anyway, I'll go back to the article. I just had to point that out. Whether it's the Ridges, a haunted asylum turned art museum that's so spooky that two people have to open and close it every night, or the Cincinnati Music Hall, a theater that was built over a potter's field, a cemetery for the destitute. Ohio is bonkers haunted. It's an interesting choice of words. And just in case you think that's an old wives' tale, in 1988, during the installation of an elevator shaft, bones of adults and children were found, exhumed from under the music hall. People have been seeing ghosts on the property since at least 1876. John Angst, E-N-G-S-T, I think, a night watchman for the music hall, has had plenty of run-ins with the paranormal while working there. But the strangest occurrence happened when he began hearing music playing after everyone had left. He told the Friends of Music Hall, "I re-entered the elevator and closed the doors. The music was still there, and I'm starting to tingle now. I opened the rear of the elevator, entered the adjoining hall. No sound. Returning to the elevator to proceed to Corbett Tower and closed up, the music was as beautiful as ever." That's interesting. Yeah, so, just again, it seems like sights and sounds are pretty common. But, I feel like I had something I was going to say and then I forgot. Well, that happens. So, the next one is called the Hollywood Pacific Theater. Okay. It says, "It goes without saying that Hollywood is one of the most haunted cities in America. Yeah, I've heard that. Even the citizens who are still living tend to have a ghostly quality about them. So for something to be haunted in the City of Angels, it needs to be pretty spooky. The main manifestation that haunts the Pacific Theater is that of Sam Warner, one of the OG Warner Brothers, who not only helped construct the theater, I'm guessing it meant helped, but who also helped make Los Angeles the town it is today. Multiple guards who work at the Pacific have reported seeing Mr. Warner taking the elevator up to his office, and they say that during quiet hours of the night, he can be heard shuffling his furniture around. That has to be super annoying for whoever works in that office now. Yeah, finding things moved around, if that does happen, then that's not fun either, I would imagine. I've never had anything major move, but I have had minor things moved around, and it's even that is weird. Let's see here. The Leaf Theater, L-E-A-F, Leaf. And it's funny how many of these I haven't heard of before. That's an interesting thing. I've heard of a few of them over the years, but I hadn't heard of most of these. But, so it just shows so many theaters are thought to be haunted. So, here we go. It says, everyone knows that Florida is full of crazies high on goofballs, or maybe it's the other way around. But are its theaters haunted? At least one of them is. In Quincy, Florida, the Leaf Theater is reportedly haunted by several former movie operators. One named Charles Gibson, another described as a gentleman wearing a hat, and their very own lady ghost. Okay, so I guess it means those are all different things. These claims have been backed up by the Big Bend ghost trackers, who checked out the theater in 2006 at the behest of a local news anchor. Not only did BBGT sense general feelings of unease in the theater, they were also able to make contact with the spirit of Charles, who seemed to want to make contact with his son. Is anyone else imagining one of the ghost hunters as an alligator wearing sunglasses? No. Well, you should be. It really enhances the experience. This person obviously thinks they're a comedian. Anyway. So that's it for that one, apparently. The Roseland Theater is the next one. But, yeah, Vicky in the chat says I've never heard of them either. And I can't think of the ones I have heard of now. I just know that a lot of these, I think so far all of these names have been unfamiliar to me. So, I guess that just points to, things, you know, that's just being popular places for this kind of stuff. I mean, like I said, I think everywhere can have any kind of activity, but yeah. Okay, and this one says, this Portland, Oregon-based theater was originally an apostolic faith church that was constructed in 1922 and later turned into a nightclub called Starry Night in the 1980s. In 1988, the club's owner murdered their publicity agent, Timothy Moreau to keep him from dripping dime on a counterfeit ticket scam. Anyway, at the club after a John Lee Hooker concert. Okay. Moreau's body was never found, but many employees at the venue and people who have been living in Portland for longer than IFC has been advertising the dream of the 90s say that his ghost haunts the venue in search of his decaying bones. Huh. That's quite the story there. I mean, that's a common thing that happens in stories too. Spirits looking for their bodies or wanting their bodies put in actual cemeteries, so. Now this next one I have heard of. I don't remember the details, but I have heard of this one, I think. And this is the Orpheum Theater. I think I've seen this one on TV a couple times. Okay, built in 1890 and then rebuilt after a fire 30 years later, this classic Memphis theater is supposed to be haunted by the ghost of a girl named Mary who was killed in a car accident in front of the theater. Not only have patrons heard Mary giggling and running up and down the aisles, but some of them have even seen her sitting in her favorite seat, C5, during a performance. In 1977, the traveling cast of Fiddler on the Roof got so freaked out by the little ghost girl that they conducted a seance. Oh, that's not always a good thing. To try to contact her. A few years later, a parapsychology class visited the theater and deduced that there were at least 6 more ghosts running around the theater with Mary. So she's got some company, at any rate. Just a quick note on that kind of thing. Seances and or like any kind of contacting spirits can be. You have to be careful and have the right intent, I think. I've heard too many stories of people trying things and then having them go wrong to varying degrees. So, and it's also kind of curious that after the seance that they had there, not that it's a direct correlation or causation, but it's interesting that after that seance there were more spirits there. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to see how many is left in this article. Because I know we've gone through a few. 3. Okay, it looks like just 3 more. Oh, wait. 4. Oh, it did say there was 14 entries in this list. 5. I'm just trying to see how far we are into it. But, let's see here. 6. 7. Okay. So we're like halfway done. I don't know. This might be, this episode might just be this article, and then maybe next time maybe Thursday I'll read the other article, because if we're only halfway done here. And hello, here's, it's good to see the Rogie Report on here. I'm actually going to be on their show tomorrow night. Of course, by the time this is uploaded, I'll either be, well, either way, we'll just say the 25th, so, of this month, and, you can find all the links to that on my social media and just also, if you look up, look them up online, you can find more details as well. So, I'm still getting used to this combination of live plus also posting it after, so like dates are kind of, I haven't gotten used to that yet. But anyway, so yeah, we're about halfway done. I think we'll finish this article, and then that'll probably be it for today, because it's taken me longer to read through it. But that's okay. That's just more content for next time. Now I just gotta find my way back to where I was. Probably shouldn't have even stopped in the middle to do that. Oh well. Let's see here. I'll find my way back to the middle. But yeah, I'm gonna be on the Rogi Report to talk about some of my experiences and just the topic in general. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And okay, there we are. I think I found it. Okay. Yep, found it. So this next one is called the Belasco Theater. And, yeah, so, anyway, yep. Look for me tomorrow night. It'll be live, too, on the Fringe FM, on the 25th, like I said, at, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and I'll be there. So, anyway, back to this article here. The Belasco Theater. Now I lost. Okay, there it is. Wait, did I read? Yeah, okay. Alright, so this says, with the amount of suffering that happens 8 times a week on Broadway, it's astounding that every theater on this great white way isn't full of ghosts tearing up playbills and ruining performances of Hamilton willy-nilly. Thankfully, the Belasco Theater more than makes up for the area's lack of spooky sightings. After his death in 1931, the theater's owner, David Belasco, began to appear wearing a clerical collar and cassock, something that he liked to wear while he was still alive. Many actors have seen him skulking around the theater and have even attempted to talk to him with little luck. Huh, so another apparition there. And that's where that one ends. The next one is the New Amsterdam Theater. Excuse me one moment, I take a drink of water here. Hasn't been so bad this time, I think. I actually remembered to take some allergy medicine today. I think that helped. So, anyway. Let's see here. It says, the New Amsterdam Theater in New York City is one of the oldest surviving Broadway theaters, and it even plays host to the Ziegfeld Follies. Host to the Ziegfeld Follies from 1913 to 1927. It was during the Follies that Olive Thomas, an actress who won the Most Beautiful Girl in New York City contest, received her big break, and began to work in silent pictures. Things went sour for Thomas in 1920 when she and her husband went to Paris. While they were in the City of Love, Thomas allegedly discovered that she had contracted syphilis from her husband and committed suicide. Shortly after her death, stagehands began to see Thomas passing through the theater wearing the same green dress that she wore during her big break in the Ziegfeld's Follies. If I can finish talking. That's interesting that she's seen there again. Yeah, I don't know. So that's it for that one. The next one, these are moving faster now for some reason. Anyway. But the next one is the Lincoln Theater. And when you think of haunted Illinois, you probably don't think of Decatur. But it turns out that the Lincoln Theater plays host to ghostly footsteps, cold spots, and at least one full-form apparition. One theory behind the apparition is that it belongs to an old stagehand named Red, a World War I veteran who laid down to take a nap at the theater and simply never woke up. Most people, however, believe it belongs to an actress that frequented this theater in its early days. Well, that's kind of confusing. They said full... I guess it could be full form without being in detail, maybe? Just trying to figure out how... Especially further back then, I would think, how you would not be sure if it was a male or female, but I don't know much about fashion or clothes or any of that stuff way back when, let alone today. But yeah, so I don't know. We'll go on to the next one. That's all I can do. This one is the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts. And it says, the lovely theater in Wisconsin plays host to a bevy of apparitions. But the main ghost seems to be that of Mabel herself. A young woman who passed away before she could see the final construction of the building. Multiple people have seen a young woman making her way through the halls, and a few women have even mentioned that they've seen something floating near the women's restroom. Aside from the female ghost, there seems to be an apparition that was either once a stagehand at the theater, or possibly someone that just loves to mess with the stagehands, that tries to play with the sound equipment when no one is paying attention. Yeah, manipulation of equipment, that's not unheard of. So, now this next one I've heard of as well. So there's a couple in here I've heard of, but not very many. Which is makes it more interesting, so I'm not complaining. This one is called the Mount Baker Theater, and it starts. Bellingham, Washington, isn't just home to indie rock, Sad Boys, Death Cab for Cutie. It also houses Judy, Alice, and Jeffrey. Three ghosts that live in the Mount Baker Theater. Both Alice and Jeffrey have supposedly introduced themselves to people who work at Mount Baker. And an investigator, to be sure... Oh, excuse me, I skipped a line. And according to a tour guide at the theater, Jeffrey is very concerned with personal property. Jeffrey was dressed in a pinstripe suit and told an investigator to be sure to return a paperback book about the history of the theater that she had found on the shelf in the boss room. Thanks, Jeffrey. That's interesting. So they were obviously there and saw the person looking at the book and wanted the person to know it, I guess. That's always, I like that one. Because obviously the person didn't see them at the time that they were looking at the book. But they wanted the person to know after. So the next one is the Baghdad Theater. The Baghdad Theater in Portland, Oregon is a beautiful Art Deco bar and grill with screening rooms that was apparently so fun to work at that the old employees just don't want to leave. Multiple employees have stated that they feel like they're being watched while they work. That says they work, but I'm guessing it's they work in the kitchen, and many of them believe that the perpetrators are ghosts of ex-employees who are being a little too judgy from beyond the spirit realm. Huh. I mean, I guess anything's possible. I don't know. Okay, that's that one. The next one is the Brown Grand Theater. Concordia, Kansas. Brown Grand Theater was constructed in 1907 and plays host to the ghost of a theater owner's son, Earl Brown. Many performers and members of the crew who have spent time in the theater have noted that Earl likes to hang out in the wings during opening season. Even to a ghost, there's no business like show business. Let's see here. And that appears to be... Yeah, let me see. Let me make sure here. Yep, that is it. So yeah, that was an interesting list. I think I will save the other one for next time. I have this other list, and it has like 9 entries. And this other list is actually of movie theaters, like, I guess, modern or more modern theaters. But it has 9 entries, so I'm thinking I don't know if I would actually make it through that list in my hour or so of time that I like to do in these streams. As far as what I'm reading things goes, I can talk longer than that. It's just reading a lot longer. It's going to be hard. But, yeah, so that was interesting. An interesting look at several theaters. I mean, I do think there's something. I've heard people say that it's part of why they may be haunted so much is because of all the energy that is generated by both the actors and the audience and everyone working on the shows there. I could see that giving, I guess, fuel to whatever is or whoever is there. So, yeah, that was a good list to read through. I'll definitely do one of these kind of looks into different kinds of locations once in a while from now on, because you can kind of go all around the country to different places and see similarities and reports all over the place, which is a lot of fun to read about and to hear. So, but yeah, I used to always try to stretch this to an hour, but you know, I think that's going to be where we end it today, just because, I mean, that's where the article ends, and so I might as well just end it there. So, but thank you all for listening, whether you're listening live or to the recording afterward. I always post these no later than one day after I record them, so and usually it's the same day. And so yeah, and then I'll be back, like I said, as far as my streams go, I'll be back on Thursday. And that'll be at 6 p.m. Eastern. And I'll go for, like I said, 30 minutes to an hour. I'll probably read the other article that day. And then Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, I will probably get back to finding and reading ghost stories from the web of people's experiences. Do that for a kind of a fun Saturday show. So, and thank you both, Vicky and the Rogi Report, for being around in chat. And I will, I'll be on the Rogi Report, like I said, the next episode. So, and that's on the 25th, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And you can find more details online. So, thank you all, and I'll talk to you all in the next stream.